Welcome to St. Paul's Sunday's Snippets. This is a time where we stop intentionally to focus upon God's Word. I pray that as you hear God's Word, you would allow it to come into your life, that it would be like a seed that's sown in the ground, that this Word would come into our life, would find a place, would bear roots, and then seek to grow within us. Over the last several weeks, we've been looking at the book of Ephesians and how it calls us to live a life worthy of the calling to which we have been called. I pray that you continue to be in this book, read it as a whole, and reflect upon the message for our world today. Now we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, your blessed Son came down from heaven to be the true bread that gives life to the world. Give us this bread always, that we may live in him and we in him, and that strengthened by this food, we may live as his body in the world, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Our reading for this day comes at the very end of the chapter 4 in the book of Ephesians, in the beginning of chapter 5. The author writes, "So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their hands so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouth, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that the words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us, and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." The word of the Lord. As we come to this section, part of it is this fourth chapter begins a turn away from the theological foundation, right, where he talks about being rooted and planted in love, talks about God's plan of salvation, what Jesus Christ has done for us, and to say, okay, how do we live out this calling? The beginning of chapter 4 talks about live a life that's worthy of the calling to which you have been called. So how do we do this? And part of it is the author is not completely Pollyannish, right? That it's like, oh, if we come to faith, then everything's going to be hunky-dory. If we just believe, everything's going to be okay. He acknowledges. He says, listen again. So then, putting away falsehood, let us all speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members with one another. Acknowledging that at times, we may need to speak a difficult word to somebody. That not everyone's going to be on the same page, and at times we may need to say something. But he says, when that happens, we speak that truth. We say hard things that people may need to hear. Listen to how he frames it. He says, be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. He gives example, thieves. He talks about thieves. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their hands. Let no evil talk come out of your mouth, but only what is useful for building up. The author acknowledges there are times when it's going to be difficult to be with one another. Whenever there's a community gathered, there's going to be disagreements. There's going to be conflict. But the question is, how do we deal with that? Be angry, but do not sin. It's okay to be angry about things. It's okay to express that anger. But where's that line between righteous indignation and sinfulness? Can we disagree vehemently with our political opponent? But do we have to resort to name-calling? Do we have to resort to denigrating and placing derogatory labels on them? Right? How can we go, wait a minute, we need to get a handle on this, right? The border is out of control. How do we do this? But is there ways to talk about it without demonizing those who are trying to come for a better life? Is there a way to do it without demonizing people we disagree with? We go, wait a minute, nope, we can't have an open border. Yet, where is that compromise? Where is that, it's not, I've got to always be right. But how do we work together? It says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. Can we disagree with somebody and then go have dinner with them? Can we have vehemently disagreements about issues related to gun control? But yet, can we sit down and break bread? Can we talk to one another? I think that's part of the problem in our culture today, is we only talk with people who agree with us. How do we talk with others in a way in which we may not see the same on a particular issue, but we can converse with one another? We may get angry. We may get animated because of we believe our position. But how do we not let it go beyond that line where we can be angry but don't sin? Part of it is, as the author goes on, he really gives us a challenge. And this is hard. Because when we're angry with somebody, it's easy to continually downgrade them. But he says this, put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice. And then, listen to this. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us. Think about that. When we have people we disagree with, we have people who are on the opposite side of issues, do we have whole groups of people that we don't think should exist? This says, wait a minute, no. Put away that bitterness and wrath and anger, wrangling and slander. Be kind to one another. It seems like in our world today, we have forgotten how to be kind to one another. We've forgotten that probably first rule of kindergarten. How do we play with others in that sandbox? How do we be with one another in a way that lifts each other up rather than castigate others away? How do we be nice to one another? We have to agree, but how can we be nice to one another? To be civil. It seems like that's something in our world that has gotten lost. Civility. How can we be civil with one another? It feels like everything sometimes is something just to raise money, to get people angry and riled up so that they're on our side. Part of it is, I think, in our country, nobody intentionally wants the country to go down. We just have different visions of what that might look like. And how do we seek to be kind to one another, to not get filled with bitterness and wrath and slander, so we can talk with one another, so that we can be the people of God? This passage, this letter, I think says something so radical in our society, something we need to continually hear, something we need to come back to say this is basic, this is civics 101. How do we be with one another? That's what it means to be imitators of God. That's what it means to be the people of God. How do we live this out? How do we go forth and allow this word to come into our life, to change the way in which we deal with others, which we seek to be a neighbor? I'm always reminded of the Lord's Prayer. When we gather for worship, we pray this prayer. And too often, I think we just say the words. But there's parts of it that are so radical. And the part that I think that we don't take seriously is this. Forgive us our trespasses. That part, we go, yep. Forgive me, God, for I have sinned. That's great. That's easy. But the next part is the hard part. Right? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. What a radical concept. When people have done something against us, do we harbor that? Do we allow the bitterness and anger and wrath to grow? Can we let it go? Do we offer forgiveness to others, just as God has offered forgiveness to us first? Because if we truly understand the forgiveness that's been offered to us, then we should go out and offer it to others. That's what it means to be the children of God. That's how we are imitators of God. That's how we live a life worthy of the calling to which we have been called. How do these words impact you in your day-to-day life? Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, help us to be imitators of you in all that we do this day and every day. Empower us to be able to walk the walk. Help us to see and to treat others the way in which we would want to be treated. Make room in our lives for forgiveness and mercy. Take away thoughts of malice and wrath and slander. Keep before us the words of the prayer you have taught us. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. For when we live this out, we can change the world and encourage others to live this way and to be imitators of God, now and always. In your holy name we pray. Amen. And now as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way. May he go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you peace. Amen.